Welcome to the Shiur of Benezra Parshas Devarim. I wanted to start tonight with the first Ibn Ezra, really the first couple of Ibn Ezra's in Parshas Devarim, where the Ibn Ezra takes the opening lines, the opening sukkah of Sefer Devarim, which are very oblique and very hard to understand, and gives an interesting tirush, an interesting explanation as to what they mean. We'll also see tonight a somewhat controversial Ibn Ezra, which has been interpreted in various different ways. I'll mention a common interpretation of the Ibn Ezra, and then we'll give what I think is perhaps certainly different, maybe better, interpretation of what the Ibn Ezra means, and try to work it back into the Pesukim themselves. So the Pesukim, just before we see the Ibn Ezra, the Pesukim at the beginning of Sefer Devarim are somewhat hard to understand. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael on the other side of the Jordan. Not clear what these words are. These are the words. What are the words? The second half of the pasuk lists off a whole series of places. Right? And these places, presumably, are not the same as the Ezer HaYarden. So you have a pasuk which is just hard to understand. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael on the other side of the Jordan, in the desert, on the plain, opposite Yam Suf, in Paran, in Tophel, and Lavan, and Chaseros, and Gizav. It's just very hard to translate what the pasuk means. Did he say these words in various different places? What are we talking about? And then the next pasuk is really the hardest pasuk to understand. Achadosh Yom Echorev Derech HaSeir Ad Kadesh Barneya. There are 11 days from Chorev, from Har Sinai, Har Seir, the mountain of Seir, until you get to Kadesh Barneya. What does that mean? There are 11 days from Chorev to Kadesh Barneya. What does it mean? It's a travel time of 11 days from Chorev to Kadesh Barnea. Who cares? This is waves? I mean, like, what's going on over here? Why is that an important statement? And then finally, Pasuk Gimel, Vayibi Arbaim Shana, it was in the 40th year, Vashteya Tzachodesh Rechad Lachodesh, in the 11th month, the first of the month, and it was the Chodesh Shvat, Vibar Moshe B'nai Yisrael Kecha Asher Tziv Hashem Oso Alehem. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael in accordance with everything that Hashem had commanded Moshe to tell to them, to the Jewish people. Now again, that pasuk at least is understandable, but how does that pasuk relate to the first of Sukkot? Right? In other words, these are the words, and then Moshe Rabbeinu spoke all of the words that Hashem commanded him to tell Klal Yisrael. Where does that fit in? What's simply the flow of the Sukkot one after another? So right to Ibn Ezra, Hayoshar Be'enai, a few lines into the Ibn Ezra, the very beginning of the Sefer, Hayoshar Be'enai, what appears correct in my eyes in the interpretation of the Pesukim is as follows. Shitei Rusho, Eile HaDvarim, Shehem Divrei HaMitzvot HaKsuvim, B'Parshus Ve'eyanofi, V'Sholti, V'Shitei, V'Hoyo Kisovo, Kvar Omar Otsom, Kasher Hoyu Ba'Mitzvot. So let's start with the first pasuk. Anywhere has the volume, Asher Diva Moshe al Kol Yisrael. These are the words which Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all of Kol Yisrael. What are the words? All of the mitzvos which are contained later on in Sefer Devarim. Basically, the Ei Shof, Parshios, the Ei Shof, and Kifes, and beginning of Kisavo are chock full of mitzvos. Right? So all of those mitzvos, Eile HaDvarim, all of these things, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael, the Ezer HaYarden. He conveyed these things to Klal Yisrael on the eastern side of the Jordan River. In other words, right before he passed away. However, although he conveyed these things to Klal Yisrael at the very end of his life, Kvar Omer Osam Kasher Hoyu Ba'Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu had already said over these things when they were in the desert. In other words, during the earlier years of Klal Yisrael's sojourn in the desert. And the way to read the Pasuk, Pasuk Aleph, is that the word Dibar Moshe, Moshe spoke, is supposed to be, we would say in mathematics, distributed over the various phrases of the Pasuk. So the way to read the Pasuk says that Ibn Ezra is as follows. Eila has volume, I said Dibar Moshe, I'll call you so the Eva Yarde. These things, these mitzvahs, which Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed to Klal Yisrael at the end of his life in the Eva Yarde, Moshe Rabbeinu had already conveyed these things, these mitzvot, to the people at this earlier stage during the time that they were in the Midbar. Even though when you read the Chumash, Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Dvarim, or I should say Sefer Dvarim, when you read Parshas for Eishofim to Sefer Kitzavo, you get the impression that these mitzvot are being revealed for the first time, says the Pulpit, no. These mitzvot were stated as review. Moshe Rabbeinu had already spoken these mitzvot to the people, Bamidbar, Ba'alava, Mosuk. He had already hammered these mitzvot into the consciousness of the people way back when. What's happening here at the end of the 40 years is Moshe Rabbeinu simply reiterating and reviewing these mitzvot. The thing of who Gider Moshe Bamidbar Barava Mosuk Miyam Shinatsu Mishina. From the day that Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was already in the process of revealing these various mitzvahs. Goes on to Ibn Ezra to say, what's been parah of himself of Vavlov and Vachateris the deep Zahav? Those are all placements. Goes to Ibn Ezra, and the Kalos will miscue of Akash to say Lamasa. It's interesting. These are places which are not listed in the travelogues of the Jewish people in Parshas Matzah, where it enumerates all of the places, 42 different places where they stacked off along, you know, different places in the Midbar. So these places are not mentioned. But then you have the question. So then, if they weren't mentioned in Parshas Matzah, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed the Torah to the people in Lavan and Chaseros and Dizav? As far as we know, they weren't in such places. Says Ibn Ezra, it's not a kasha. What's that? That's the problem. Rashi says that Bamidbar Ba'arava Mosul is not where they were. It's the content of what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, and it was a, you know, a sort of back-ended tochacha, back-ended admonition. But Ibn Ezra is not going with that. He says, "Oh, this is the Sheva Tacherim." Don't be bothered by this passage, says it is in Ezra. These places are all mentioned in Matthew, just under different names. And it shouldn't bother if we find that there are places that have multiple names, right? So, Lavan, Chaseros, Dizav, all these places, Papara and Tulsa, they, you know, we don't know which ones they are, but they all do correspond to certain places where the Jews were that are mentioned in Parshas Matzah. So all the Pasuk means is that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was giving over these mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael at the end of his life, had already brought these mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael years previously. That's Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Beis, as we pointed out, is the hardest Pasuk to understand. There are 11 days from Chorev to Kadesh Barnea. So what? What are you trying to say? Zakti Ibn Ezra. Achaya Sayyam. Hatam. Shadiber Eila Hadvarim Ba'osam Achada Sayyam. When we said in Pasuk Aleph that all of the mitzvot that are being taught to Klal Yisrael at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life were already taught by Moshe to Klal Yisrael earlier on, what we mean, says the Pasuk, is that they were all taught to Klal Yisrael during the 11-day journey from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. All of these, what was going on during those 11 days? There were 11 days in actuality when the Jews journeyed from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea, as we'll see in just a few moments, is the place from whence they sent forth the Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael. During those 11 days journey, Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael all of Parshiyos Re'ei, Shoftim, Kiseise, and Kisava. As they were traveling, right? I guess these are, you know, up when they have a shear on the bus, you know, when everyone's going on a trip, right? Hopefully it was listened to better than the shear that they have on the bus, right? Mecholeis, Shahokum Mecholeis Kadesh Barnea, when they were traveling from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, Tzar Higadiki Lechof, Mecholeis Barnea Hokum Meraglim, right? It was from Kodesh Barnea, as we mentioned a moment ago, the Miranda was set forth. The Akash and Nishma Hashem, so he comes to La'oret, so he's Hashem Nishma Rakishna Saragorim. Since they've been Israel, once God made the decree against the Jewish people at Kodesh Barnea that the Jews would not be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, but that generation would die out in the Midbar, from that point until the 40th year, until Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is being described over here, no mitzvot were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu to teach the Klal Yisrael. It was radio silence for close to 40 years. So in other words, all of these mitzvot, and in fact, all of the mitzvot that are being revealed in Sefer Devarim are really, you know, ones that have been revealed beforehand. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was just hazarding over, he was just revealing all of these mitzvot, but really these mitzvot were given during the Achadah Saryom Mechorid Derech HaSeir Ad Kodesh Barneya, right? That passage describes when these Eile HaDvarim were originally said. These mitzvot were said from Midbar during the Achadah Saryom Mechorid, during those 11 days that they were traveling from Sinai until they got to Kodesh Barneya. Right. So again, the timeline is a little bit different, but again, he's understanding that they traveled for 11 days, and these missiles were revealed during that period of time. Now, if you think about it, it makes sense that Zavka, these missiles should be revealed during that period of time. As the Ramban points out at the beginning of his commentary on Sefer Devarim, a very large percentage of the missiles in Re'ei, Shoftim, Kiseisa, and Kisavo have to do with coming into Eretz Yisrael. So the truth is, in the original plan, Plan A, the Jews were going to travel from Chores to Kodesh Barnea. They were going to send the Meraglim. The Meraglim would come back and say that everything's fine. The Jews would go into Eretz Yisrael. Or in the original plan, maybe they weren't even going to send the Meraglim altogether. They would just use Kodesh Barnea as a launching pad to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what better time to reveal all of the mitzvahs that have to do with Eretz Yisrael than during those 11 days? Those 11 days were essentially the preparation for what was going to be the entry into Eretz Yisrael. What happened? Well, we know what happened. So at the end of the 11 days, and after the Meraglim came back, the Jews did not go into Eretz Yisrael. So all of that Torah was sort of, so to speak, put on the side, because it wasn't going to be immediately applicable. And it's only now, when Klal Yisrael are really ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, pulls out all of these mitzvot, he dusts them off, he reviews them with Klal Yisrael. Now you're really going to Eretz Yisrael. Now we really have to, you know, buckle down and learn Re'ei, Shoftim, Kiseisa, Kisavo. But originally the plan was that they would have learned them right then and there, right before, you know, going in to Eretz Yisrael. The Ha'ei Sha'amar Be'er Et HaTorah Hazot. How do we know that what Moshe Rabbeinu was presenting in Sefer Devarim is all review? It's all material that has been revealed, that has been revealed before? Because what does it say later on in Pasuk Hey? Holy Moshe Be'er Et HaTorah Hazot. Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain this Torah. Explaining is different than revealing. And Ibn Ezra understands that the verb livo'er implies that Moshe Rabbeinu was explaining something which they already had, as opposed to introducing something which was new. He made the air HaTorah Sha'ama Ben Parno Ben Tomso. What Moshe Rabbeinu was doing at this juncture, Sefer Devarim, was explaining the Torah which he had already taught. Saying Paran Ozein Tofel at that earlier point, during those 11 days when they were journeying from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, Kirov HaMitzvot Hem BaSefer HaZeh. The majority of these mitzvot are in the Sefer. The Chayim Pirush, Kichol HaShem Tiva HaShem Oso Aleihem, the Eva HaYarden BaMidbar BaArava. And in Pasuk Gimel, says the Ibn Ezra, when it says, Diver Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Kichol HaShem Tiva HaShem Oso Aleihem, that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael everything that Hashem had commanded him, what it means is that he taught Klal Yisrael again everything that Hashem had already commanded him. So again, comes to Ibn Ezra and gives a very interesting interpretation to these first couple of psukim of Sefer Devarim, in which these psukim are giving a prologue to Sefer Dvar, and they're basically saying, don't think that there's anything new here. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu is quote-unquote revealing in Sefer Dvarim was really already revealed and already taught to Klal Yisrael during those 11 days of preparation for what they thought was going to be their entry in Eretz Yisrael close to 40 years before. Things didn't work out, so now he's presenting it again, but this is the second time. This is not the first time these mitzvahs were presented, even though it looks that way from a cursory reading of the Chumash. Right? So, if that was all, the truth is that's a very interesting understanding of the nature of these mitzvahs in Sefer Dvarim. This is all review. Right? Again, it gives new meaning to what Chazal say, that Sefer Dvarim is referred to as Mishneh Torah, right? The repetition of the Torah. Right? Ordinarily, that language is a little bit difficult to understand. I mean, Mishneh Torah, yes, there are certain mitzvahs which are present in Dvarim, but have already been, you know, spoken about in the earlier Chumashim, but the vast majority of the mitzvahs which exist in Sefer Dvarim are being presented in the Chumash for the first time. You know, the mitzvah of Yibum, the Chiyuv of Makos, the whole parasha of the Melech. You know, I'm just grabbing ideas off the top of my head. If you go through Reish, Shoftim, Kiseh, Kisavah, Shuah, Hakam, I mean, there are all kinds of mitzvahs which are presented for the first time in Dvarim. You know, why are we calling Dvarim Mishneh Torah? According to Ibn Ezra, the language is readily understandable, because everything in Sefer Dvarim, even if we're only reading it for the first time in Sefer Dvarim, historically had already been presented to Klal Yisrael during that 11-day period as they got close to coming into Eretz Yisrael. So it's Mishneh Torah, it's a review of that 11 days worth of Torah. That's shot in the Lashon Mishneh Torah, you know, that Chazal used in referring to Sefer Torah. Okay. According to the Ibn Ezra. Okay. Now comes the difficult part of the Ibn Ezra to understand, and the part which over the years has generated much controversy. The Intovin Sod Hashem Osar. If you will understand the secret of the 12, Gam Vayichtov Moshe, and if you understand the pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz, and the pasuk that says that the Knanim were then in the land, this is the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, you know, that time of Avraham Avinu, Vahar Hashem Yeirah, and if you understand the pasuk by the Akedah, that says that God will be revealed on that mountain where the Akedah took place, Hinei Arso Eretz Barzel, and later on in Parshas Dvarim, where it describes that the dead of Og Melech HaBoshon was made out of iron, and you know, you can go to Rabat Sinei Amon, you can go to a certain place in the country of Amon, and you can go see the dead, you know, even today. If you understand those psukim, Takir Ha'emes, so then you will recognize the truth. Okay, so there's a secret, and if you understand the secret, you'll recognize the truth. What on earth does that mean? So one of the classic explanations of this is Ibn Ezra, which is very controversial for reasons we'll see in a moment, but it's suggested by many of the classic on the portion, and Ibn Ezra is as follows. What's the common denominator of all the psukim that he mentions, and specifically, what's the Shnei Mosar? You know, what's about the soul Shnei Mosar, the secret of the 12? What's 12? What are we talking about over here? What's common with these psukim? So, explains this line of thought as follows. One of the early Mepharshim who says this is Rav Yosef Tzudelem, is one of the classic commentaries on Ibn Ezra, but others say it as well. The soul Shnei Mosar refers to the last 12 psukim of the Chumash, Sefer Dvarim. Right, Ayal Moshe, and describes how Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Nevo and looks out on Eretz Yisrael and then dies. There's a classic question on those 12 psukim, which in a certain form is raised already by the Gemara in Bava Basra. How can Moshe Rabbeinu write Vayal Moshe Moshe? How can Moshe Rabbeinu write about his own death, and perhaps even more? How can Moshe Rabbeinu write about his burial? Right, you know, it's usually, you know, some people write their epitaph while they're still alive, but it seems a little bit odd that Moshe Rabbeinu was writing about his own death. But those last 12 psukim of the Chumash that describe the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, again, they've been just asking, look, he was scribbling up till the end, you know, the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu, his death and his burial described by the Chumash. How can that make sense? In human terms, it doesn't seem to make sense that Moshe Rabbeinu should be able to describe his own death. And these other psukim are also difficult to understand for a similar reason. Vaknani oz ba'aretz. Right? The Knanim were then in the land. The implication is that then they were in the land, but now they're not in the land. So, how could Moshe Rabbeinu agree with that? When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah, the Knanim were still in Eretz Yisrael. V'har Hashem Yeroyah. Right? The Pasuk says, Asher Yeromi Ayom V'har Hashem Yeroyah. People say to this day, concerning the mountain upon which the Akedah took place, Har HaMoriah, that Hashem reveals himself on that mountain. What does that mean? Hashtus, that means that the Hamikdash was built there, and that the Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals himself on that mountain. But wait a minute, but that happened way after Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu write in the Torah, Asher Yeomi HaYom, the Hashem Yeroyah? And finally, with regard to Og Melech HaBosham, Hinei Arzo Erez Barzov, if you want to see how big Og was, go look at his bed. You know, they still have it on display in the town where he used to live. That sounds like someone is describing something that happened a long time ago, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Og died. Og was killed shortly before Moshe Rabbeinu died. So to talk about his bed like it's some kind of museum piece, it sounds like it's being described from the perspective of someone who lived many, many years later. So how can all of that be? So if you understand the soul, if you understand the secret of these psukim, hakir ha'emes, then you'll understand the truth. What does that mean? So explain. Joseph Suvalim and other Mephoshim of Benezra. Benezra here is saying something which ideologically is very, very controversial. It's possible that certain phrases in the Chumash, in the Chamish Chumash Torah, were written the Derech Nevuah even after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed everything, the Derech Nevuah, every word in the Torah, every letter in the Torah is written as a divine revelation. 98% of that divine revelation was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, but there were other aspects of that divine revelation which were given to people, or a person after Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why the Pasuk is written from the perspective of somebody who lived later. Yeah, you can say such a thing. So presumably that, if the Ibn Ezra is saying that, so the Ibn Ezra is working with a certain interpretation which the Gemara writes in Bava Basra. Gemara brings the Machlokas in Bava Basra. How do you explain the last eight Sukkot in Chumash? They're starting from Yom HaShem, Moshe, Ever HaShem. So one opinion says that those last eight Sukkot in Chumash were written down by Yoshua. Doesn't make sense for Moshe Rabbeinu to be writing about his own death and burial. So presumably, according to this interpretation, the Ibn Ezra would be saying, okay, so what the Gemara means is that Kishen, that those psukim were written down by Yoshua, the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, with divine revelation, there are a few other places in Chumash as well which were written down by Yoshua somewhat later, also with divine revelation, but they're written from the perspective of somebody who seems to be after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Can one imagine that's an incredibly, incredibly controversial shot to say in the Ibn Ezra. Again, I just want to be clear. There are classical Mephoshim who say this shot in the Ibn Ezra, but it opens up a Pandora's box from a Hashkafa perspective. Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough to understand the Gemara that says that Yeshua, the opinion of the Gemara that says that Yeshua might have written the last eight psukim in the Chumash. Okay, hard enough to understand. You've got to extend it to other psukim. That's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, and one that, you know, sort of teeters on the edge of our Yisoda Samuna. Really, the Ibn Ezra could have said something. Excellent. Okay, we'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. Right. So first of all, this is a very, very, again, controversial shot because it gets involved in this whole issue of, is it possible that, you know, even a word, even a letter, could have been written down, even Baruch HaKodesh, after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away already? Very, very hard to accept. It's also, I think, hard to accept for two other reasons. Besides the fact that Hashkafically it's very uncomfortable, there's an Ibn Ezra in the end of Parshas Vayishlach. So, in the end of Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah describes the kings who reigned in Edom, and the Pasuk says, Ela Hamlachim Asher Malchu Be'eretz Edom, these were the kings who reigned in Edom, Lifnei Malach Melech Lifnei Yisrael, before there were any kings for Klal Yisrael. So there, in the end of Parshas Vayishlach, the Ibn Ezra quotes an individual called Yitzchaki, and Yitzchaki says, you know, this whole Pasha with the kings must have been written after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and inserted into the Torah. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Lifnei Malach Melech Lifnei Yisrael, these are the kings who ruled before the Jewish king ruled. You know, the first Jewish king was Shaul HaMelech. The Pasuk seems to imply that by the time the Pasuk has been written, Jewish kings have already been gone ruling. So, okay, the whole Pasha must have been written later on. But Ibn Ezra quotes this. Ibn Ezra, we know, quotes a lot of opinions that he doesn't like, he doesn't agree with. And here, on that interpretation of Yitzchaki, writes to Ibn Ezra, his words are fit to be burnt. So, you know, you get the impression, maybe more than an impression, you get the impression that the Ibn Ezra was not comfortable with the notion or even the suggestion that part of Chumash could have been written down, even the Ruach HaKodesh, after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Royim Varavli Saris, you know, his words should be burned. Those were pretty strong words. So it would be a little odd for the Ibn Ezra to condense something in such strong terms in Parshas Vayishlach, and then embrace a similar idea in Parshas Varim. It's just odd. Now again, the question I mentioned before addressed this. They said, well, you know, maybe the Ibn Ezra distinguishes between a phrase and a whole parasha. Okay, I don't find that so compelling. I mean, first of all, logically, why should there be a difference? But also, it seems very odd to say that if you say a phrase comes from after Moshe Rabbeinu, that's totally okay. If on the other hand, you say that a whole parasha comes from after Moshe Rabbeinu, Ruim Dvarav Lehistorik, that should be burned. Seems like a tremendous, you know, dichotomy between what we're willing to accept for a phrase and what we're willing to accept for a parasha. A second reason why I think this interpretation of the Ibn Ezra is hard to say, is the point that Yaakov raised a moment ago. Let's say for argument's sake that the Ibn Ezra does hold that that's what we're supposed to take away from Pesach Sukkah. Why drop this bombshell in the middle of his discussion of the first three Sukkim in Sefer Dvarim? It has nothing to do with those Sukkim in Sefer Dvarim. His whole point was that the mitzvahs in Sefer Dvarim are review. They were really taught by Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael during the 11 days after they left Har Sinai. So everything here is being said a second time. Okay, a beautiful pshat in the Sukkim. Oh, and by the way, I just wanted to let you know that there are some Sukkim and Chumash that give the appearance as if they were written after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's one got to do with the other? I mean, even if you say that that's what he means, it's totally out of context. Totally out of context. So how would you understand that? Yeah.
I think the time paradox is the stronger paradox, but there are other lesser paradoxes as well.
But then Hashem after Meiriz, I want to try to suggest an alternative pshat in the Ibn Ezra, one which other Mepharshim said, which I think fits into the context a lot better and works a lot better with Parshas Vayishlach, and we'll see how it ties in to his explanation of Parshas Devarim. Welcome to the second half of the year in Ibn Ezra, Parshas Devarim. We left off with the cliffhanger, this oblique and controversial comment of the Ibn Ezra that there are certain tshukim which present a sod, a secret, which is hard to understand, but if you understand what they're all about, hakir ha'emes, so then you'll understand, you'll recognize the truth. We quoted the opinion of some of the Mepharshim, the Ibn Ezra, that what the Ibn Ezra is hinting at in these psukim is the following. All of the psukim he quotes are psukim that give the impression that they were written down after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, for one reason or another. So, same as Mepharshim, what the Ibn Ezra is suggesting is a very radical idea, what seems to be a radical idea, that most of the Torah was written down by Ruach HaKodesh by Moshe Rabbeinu, but there are phrases here and there in the Torah that were written down by Ruach HaKodesh after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, al-derech, along the lines of what the Gemara says, according to one opinion, Baba Batsa, that Yeshua ben Nun wrote the last eight psukim in the Torah that described the death and burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we pointed out that besides the fact that that's obviously very controversial from a Hashkafic perspective, right? We generally operate under the assumption that the entire Torah was written down by Moshe Rabbeinu, not 95%, but not 98%, but 100%. Right? Close but no cigar is not an option, when it comes to Hashkafa. Besides that, we also pointed out that the Ibn Ezra himself is extremely critical of an opinion that he quotes in Parshas Vayishlach that says that the Parsha describing the kings of Edom was written down after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. By extremely critical, I mean he says his words are fit to be burned. Doesn't miss any words. Plus, how does the Ibn Ezra, even assuming that that's what the Ibn Ezra means, how does that fit into the context of his interpretation of the first couple of psukim of Sefer Devarim, where he's basically saying that the Parshios of Re'ei Shoftim Kiseite and Kisovo were originally taught by Moshe Rabbeinu to the people immediately after they left Har Sinai, and it's only being reviewed over here for the second time by Moshe Rabbeinu, but really nothing here is actually new. It's all a review of what has been revealed previously. What does that have to do with this radical notion about the authorship of these Sukkim and Chumash? I'd like to suggest the following alternative, a different way of understanding the Ezra, which is also found in the classic Mepharshim, but I think derives a lot of strength from the context. Let's go back to the context for a moment. So, the Ezra interprets that Moshe Rabbeinu originally revealed four parshios, three and a half parshios in the Torah, to Klal Yisrael years before, when they left Har Sinai. However, they're only written down when he revealed them at the end of his life. So, the Ibn Ezra anticipates that the average reader is going to be bothered by that. How could it be that the Torah presents the story in such a way that we are left with the impression that Moshe Rabbeinu was revealing Re'ei Shoftim Kiseitein Kisovo for the first time at the end of his life, when you, Ibn Ezra, are trying to tell me that in point of fact, these were really revealed at a much earlier point in the career of Moshe Rabbeinu, close to 40 years before? How can you make such a radical statement about the ordering and the presentation of things in Chumash when a straight cursory reading of the Chumash seems to indicate that things are being revealed over here? Comes to Ibn Ezra in response to that, and he says, you should know there's a phenomenon in Chumash that sometimes in the Chumash itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write down a pasuk in such a way so that even though it was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu in his time, the pasuk is meant to be read as if it was written at a much later point in time. Hakhnani Oz Ba'aretz, right, case in point. Hakhnani Oz Ba'aretz implies that the Kananim were in the Eretz Yisrael at that time, but at this later time, they're no longer in Eretz Yisrael. That was not true in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kananim were still in Eretz Yisrael in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nonetheless, says the Ibn Ezra, it's not a contradiction that the Ribbono Shel Olam basically revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, write down Hakhnani Oz Ba'aretz, right? Write down a pasuk that gives the impression that it was revealed later, even though in point of fact it was revealed earlier. So in other words, according to this interpretation, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who wrote down Hakhnani Oz Ba'aretz. So ask me, the way that pasuk is presented gives the impression that it was written down by somebody later than Moshe Rabbeinu. Answers to Ibn Ezra, it's not a contradiction that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ruach Nevuah, was told to write a pasuk in such a way that it gives the impression as if it's a later, it's a pasuk which was composed later on, but in point of fact, it was composed at an earlier time. That's a model for what the Ibn Ezra is describing with regard to Parshiyos Re'eh, Shoftim, Kiseh, and Kisova. They're written in the Torah in a way in which they give the impression that they were written down later, but in point, or that they were revealed later, when in point of fact they were actually given to Moshe Rabbeinu and given over to the people at an earlier point in history. Ibn Ezra is looking for other examples, even more radical examples, where a revelation and even the writing down of a pasuk might take place at an earlier point in time, although the pasuk itself gives the impression that it was revealed later on. But so Lachora, you could explain that similarly, according to the Ibn Ezra. In other words, the Ibn Ezra doesn't happen to quote a pasuk like that. But those types of sukkim, Ad Hayom Hazel, which gives the impression that, you know, this took place many, many years ago, and to this day, this is still a stamp. So the Ibn Ezra might say it's written in such a way that conveys the impression that it was written later on, but that was really just told to Moshe Rabbeinu to write it in such a fashion. The simple shot is that it's something which is everlasting. Right? In other words, it's a phenomenon that didn't just disappear a day or two later. You know, it's something which is just there and it's going to stay there. And we predict that it's going to stay there. In other words, it's something which one can imagine is going to stay there. If we're correct, so then the sod, the secret that the Ibn Ezra is really bringing out over here is the following, right? Not that you have sukkim and chumash that were written down by somebody after Moshe Rabbeinu, but the sod is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on occasion, revealed sukkim to Moshe Rabbeinu and dictated them to Moshe Rabbeinu to write down in a fashion that would give the impression that they were written down later. Right? In other words, that's the show. That's the secret. You know, the unusual thing which exists with these sukkim. That show is similar to what the Torah is doing with the parshiyos of Re'eh, Shoftim, Kiseh, and Kisova. It's presenting something later, giving the impression that it was written down later. But in point of fact, it's really a revelation that took place earlier. So we find such a phenomenon, as the Ibn Ezra. And when you realize all of that, takir ha'emes, you'll recognize the truth that, you know, such phenomena exist in the, in the context of the Chumash and how it's presented. So, again, the you can quibble with this proof, but basically he's saying the impression that Pashut gives, Og was so big. You want to know how big he was? Go and see where they made a museum out of his bed. Gives the impression that, you know, Og was killed many years ago, and, you know, he's an ancient, there's an ancient legend about Og, and you can go see the bed. In other words, you know, something that happened last year, I don't have to go and see a memorial about. You know, it gives the impression that it's something from many, many years before. Again, you can quibble with, you can try to answer the proof, but I think that's what he's trying to bring out from here. Okay, sir. Right, so I think the simple shot, other than the answer, is that many of the mitzvot in Mishnah Torah are repeated from earlier chumashos. The answer is unusual in that he says all of the mitzvahs in Mishnah Torah were really taught beforehand. I think the standard shot is, it talks about sitzes in Dvarim, it also talks about sitzes back in Bar Midbar. It talks about Shlosh Regalim in Dvarim, it also talks about Shlosh Regalim in Shmos, right? But you know, there are clearly many mitzvahs which are mentioned in Dvarim for the first part. The Chiddush of the Ibn Ezra is all of those mitzvahs were really taught, you know, at a certain point in time during those 11 days. So everything is really Mishnah Torah. That's actually next week. We will kick off Wednesday night with Parshas Tzaddikim at the same time. We should be zocha to see Tisha B'Av be a day of Shalom B'Simcha. But if we event that does not happen, so everybody should have an easy fast.